are live in the BSU Panther Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. How are you guys doing this lovely Wednesday? Yeah, we're about, 40 minutes early, but had some scheduling things going on today. Wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to get on and talk some GSU Panthers with you guys. We're in a bye week. A lot of people say, well, bye week's kind of early. No, I think it's in a pretty good spot, and we'll get into that a little later on. Scheduling note as well, it was just confirmed right before we came on air tonight from GSU Media. We're going to have Dimitri Chen on with us next week as we preview the Penn State game and talk a little bit of other stuff. He was at the press conference in this game as well. Dimitri's a good guy. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Some other people we're going to have on here soon. As soon as we have those confirmed, we will definitely let you guys know. But, you know, happy Wednesday. Made it to a hump day. Never quite understood why they call it hump day. I mean, most people say that the week starts on Monday. And so, I mean, if you count the Monday through Friday, I guess it's the middle day. But, I don't know. Never quite been my thing. But either way, we've got a lot of fun stuff we're going to get into. Like I said, we've got a lot of clips from press conference. But first, I want to start by talking about the game. So we're going to do that. Of course, ultimately, we all know by now that Georgia State was on the non-W side of this one. It's okay. Can't win them all, right? Lost the home opener 17 for Tennessee State, who Coach will say a little later, they played hard. They worked hard. They you know, when you get outplayed a little bit, that's when the other team works slightly harder. I'm not saying our guys didn't work hard. But we come up on the wrong side of it. Now, am I that worried about it? No. I think we'll be okay down the road. Our schedule still favors us. My prediction for this year anyway, and I think we can win 6 games and get to a bowl game. I don't see why we couldn't do that. You know, just talking about some of the people we're going to play. I mean, here's our remaining schedule. Just going to go past the teams real quick. Not going to go where these are played, which will factor into some of them. Penn State, Charlotte, Memphis, Coastal Carolina, UL Monroe, Troy, South Alabama, Georgia Southern, Texas State, Appalachian State, and Idaho. Given the way everybody played in the opening week, I don't see why we can't hammer out at least 6 wins out of that. I think this team is emerging. There are some things we need to work on. We'll go over some of the stats that will, you know, help me and help you guys, or basically help me relay to you guys exactly what we need to work on. Let's start on the Tennessee State side. Treyon Harris, very good mobile quarterback. He's more mobile than he is quarterback. Has a pretty good arm. He did run for 91 yards on his own, including a touchdown. As far as other rushers, well, no, as far as Treyon Harris, he was a transfer from the University of Florida. I think he wanted the opportunity to play. So he came to Tennessee State. Kid can, like I said, he can scramble. He's a good scrambler, pretty decent passer. 12 for 25 for 145 yards. I believe his longest was a 21-yard play. It's not bad at all. The other big rushers, plural, for Tennessee State was Seth Rowland, who had 76 yards and a touchdown, and Free Curtis, who had 73. Big-time receivers, Patrick Smith had 6 catches for 70 yards. Stephen Newbold had 2 catches for 37 and a couple catches for Miles Cavett and Andrew Knox. Some of the, you know, I'll get into some of their defensive stats here in a minute, but as you could tell, they were able to run the ball pretty decently. think one of the places we can improve is in the trenches. I felt like I'm not gonna say we were outplayed because our guys were digging hard, and that's not a way to sugarcoat it to say, well, at least they tried hard. No, our guys were battling hard. It's hard for me, even at the press conference. Starting center and redshirt junior Gabe Mobley, probably one of the best centers in the conference, if not in the nation. It's hard for me to look at him and say, hey, you guys didn't try hard enough, because they did. And we'll get into a little bit of what they actually said here in a minute. I just want to go over a few more stats before we get into that. Like I said, trenches, I think special teams, and, you know, I can't blame the quarterback position, because Connor Manning was 14 for 17 for 159 yards. He was only sacked once. Aaron Winchester came in relief not because Connor was bad, because Connor took a shot to the back of the head. They checked him out. There was no concussion. That came straight from the coach after Coach Elliott at the press conference. He said he was a little dizzy and he wanted to get checked out, and he felt like he was not at a state where he could go back in. So precautionary, which is always the right thing. Precautionary, they kept Connor out. Aaron played the rest of the game. Aaron was 4 for 6, only threw the one interception at the very end, 65 yards, and the lone touchdown. I mean, you couldn't ask much more from your backup quarterback on night one. Taz Bateman, 6 catches, 74 yards, and the lone touchdown. In fact, the 36-yard scramble he had was the touchdown run. Penny Hart had 5 catches for 36 yards. Ari Wirtz had the big 59-yard catch along with a 3-yard catch for a 62 total there. If we can get Ari in space, my goodness. And the only reason that it was only 59 yards is they caught just enough of a shoelace on him. If they wouldn't have caught that, he was long gone. Ari is one of the best-kept weapons in the Sun Belt, and we definitely need to get him and Penny and Todd Boyd all involved a lot better. Kyler Neal had a catch for 8 yards. Amir Scaife had a catch, his first catch of the year, for 5 yards. Hey, got to get Amir involved too. Amir is a big physical body, used to play quarterback, knows what needs to be done. Glad he was able to contribute. Glenn Smith had a catch for a couple yards. You know, like I said, as far as the three keys to why we were not able to pull out the victory, I think there was three factors easy. We lost the battle of the trenches. Special teams needs a little bit of work. We were able to figure out a few things, but special teams need some work. And, hey, we committed 5 turnovers, an interception, and I believe 4. No. It was 3 fumbles, an interception, I think a turnover on downs. You know, we got to do those better. We got to do a lot better with those. Clearly, not what we needed to do. Let's get into some of the defensive stats, and then we will ultimately – then after the defensive stats, I want to get into some of the – clips from the press conference, because I think you guys are going to enjoy those as well. For Tennessee State, they ended up having 3 sacks. One came from Chris Collins, one came from Jason Morrow, and the other one from Mr. Armstrong. In fact, Chris Collins had 3 tackles for a loss, including that sack. He also caused one of the fumbles, as did Del Porter. The people who recovered those fumbles, Justin North, Blair Edwards, and Mr. Agudinko. And LaQuarius Cook had the great pass breakup. Their defense is pretty good. And it's not, oh, they're pretty good for an FCS. No, this team could compete on a Division I level the way they played the other night, for sure. By far, it wasn't the way we wanted to open up the new stadium. But it happens. Besides the outcome of the game, I felt like it was a win-win across the board. The fan experience, off the charts. The new stadium has got a lot of fun things. It's worth the price of admission, as I've always said. It's worth the price of admission just to come check it out. Now, I would actually say try to come here a little early, because if you get to a game a little early, then you can look around and check all the stuff out. That way you don't miss any parts of the game. Tons of, concessions and refreshments, tons of activities going on beforehand. Afterwards, you can come down on the field, have a good time, come check it out, You guys should definitely come check it out, though. Defensively for Georgia State, the lone sack went to Trey Payne. He played his tail off. Julian Laurent had two tackles for a loss, and so did Mackenzie Cherador. Those are two of our big uglies up front. I hate using that term, though, because it implies that they have substandard looks or something, and it's not that. They are big dogs up front. So our two of our big dogs up front, Julian and Mackenzie, had some just fantastic play. Pass breakups. Chandon Sullivan had a couple. Jerome Smith had one, a big one, and DeAndre Applin did as well. As far as quarterback hits, Trey Payne had one. That would be a sack. Michael Shaw had one. He's another guy coming through. In all likelihood, another thing, I'm going to make this the fourth point. Our run game needs some help. And we're going to get into establishing a run game a little here in a few minutes. But let's just put it this way. We gained 49 yards on 29 attempts. That's like 1.05 yards per attempt. And that's 1.7. There it is. Had that completely off. 1.7. I meant to say 1.5. But 1.7 yards per carry. That's not good at all. 238 on 42 attempts for Tennessee State. Got to work on that. We did have 224 yards in the air. It was partially because we were down, and it was also just part of the game plan. Connor throws a beautiful down yard pass. Aaron's got a pretty good one too. Tried to move the ball. Just didn't seem to work out in our favor. Now, let's get to some of these comments. Let's start with number 91, the nose guard, Julian Laurent. Here is his overall takeaway from the game on Thursday.
I think we needed to do better on everything, every position, every side of the ball. We all needed to contain the quarterback. We needed to run and throw better. We needed to just overall everything to win the game.
There you go. He took part of the blame on himself. He took part of it on his position group, and he said, you know what? Felt like everybody could have played a little better. It is what it is. And, overall, I would agree. I think Coach would agree with some of his statements. We'll get into those in a minute. But, yeah, absolutely agree. He also was asked about possibly being fatigued as played a little up-tempo, a little fast on offense, which means sometimes the defense didn't get much of a break, was back on the field. They were on the field for 67 plays, which is quite a bit when we had 52 on offense ourselves. He was asked about being fatigued, to which he said,
"No, during camp, Coach Elliott does a really good job of getting us, to that point where you think you can't go anymore, and then you keep going. So all of us, those times we were, Coach would come and ask us if it was time. We was like, we good. That's why we kept going out there. And, yeah."
There you go. Coach has been preparing him for this the whole time during camp, really conditioning these guys. These guys are ready to play. Our defense for, the third year in a row is by far the strongest part. Our offense is coming along. I like the development. I like a lot of things I saw. Our special teams, you're going to have some bumps and bruises trying to figure out this new stadium. They haven't practiced here all that much. So I don't have a problem with our special teams either. I felt like they were holding their end of the bargain too. And finally, Julian was asked about the fans and the stadium.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think definitely having your own stadium to defend, it definitely made a difference.
There you go. Having an actual field you can call your own, having a place where the fans can go and know this is our field, you know? I think one of the overall themes as well. Is in the dome, never felt like it was ours. You know, I think you always felt like you're playing somebody else's yard, and that's going to make you play a little differently. You never get comfortable. You know, now you have your own state of the art facilities. You have your own state of the art locker rooms. The new entrance onto the field with the pyrotechnics. The flyover, by the way, fantastic. It's awesome. From the media booth, the thing flew right beside us pretty much. That was amazing. I like it. Everything about it. The only thing I didn't like was the outcome of this game. This is a game we could have still won. I mean, 10-7, we were within striking distance pretty much the whole night. We're able to get the ball back with a minute 33 on about our own 45-yard line. And then, unfortunately, that's when the interception happened. Things happen. But let's hear a little bit from Gabe Mobley. I actually asked him about some of the looks he was getting from the Tennessee State defense and if that played a part in how they responded.
Well, they came out in a base over front. They're playing over and under for us. I mean, it was four down. Sometimes they were stemming in the odd, but mainly it was just linebacker run throughs that were getting us.
There you go. Tennessee State wasn't doing anything super advanced. They were basically taking their three or four guys up front. And as they took their three or four guys up front, they pretty much held the door open so that the linebackers could try to find the gaps and come flying in. And that's actually where a lot of the chaos happened. He was also asked, we asked Gabe Mobley, the starting redshirt junior center. Like I said, this guy should be all conference. If not, you know, he's got to be one of the top in college, in my opinion. He's a super guy anyway. I'm not even a little bit biased on that. He's just good at what he does. He was asked if any of this was unexpected, as, you know, the types of schemes they were running against him or anything like that.
I mean, we've seen it all week at practice. We knew that they were going to jump into odd some. But we just had to work up to the linebackers faster, and we didn't get it done.
There you go. They kind of knew they were going to do it, and Tennessee State did it so well that they just couldn't do much about it. It happens. He was also asked about when Connor was injured and had to come out of the game, and Aaron Winchester came in. Did that throw off the rhythm or throw off the game plan, any swapping quarterbacks?
I mean, during practice all week, we rotated in and out quarterbacks, so, I mean, it doesn't really – there's not that much of a change.
There you go. During practice each week, they swap out in and out quarterbacks all the time so that they never get too reliant on one being there. So if something like this happens, it's interchangeable. I think that's a good game plan. This is Coach Elliott being ahead of the curve again, in my opinion. Speaking of Coach Elliott, let's get to some of his remarks. Here was his opening remark. It is about 30 seconds long, but this is just his opening, part of his opening remark to us at the press conference.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we all sat out there and watched it. You know, well, when you look at our defense, I thought they played their tails off. They went out there and gave us an opportunity to compete, gave us a chance to actually take it down there and potential tie of the game, and I thought they fought. They stayed on the field a long, long time, and that's something that's unacceptable for. It's unacceptable for us offensively.
There you go. So, to reiterate what Coach said,
it's unacceptable.
Exactly, unacceptable. Coach was also asked about the game plan early, the early game plan, to which here was his answer.
Yeah, I think the start of the game, you know, we use the term start fast and finish strong, and we did start fast. I think we hit the first two plays and went with a little hurry-up tempo. And
Hurry-up tempo. Play a little bit like Oregon. I like the up-tempo. Connor seemed to be doing well with it, and actually Aaron did pretty well with it once he came in as well. Just couldn't quite get it where we wanted it. And that was ultimately the downfall. Couldn't quite execute when we needed to. We also asked Coach, or Coach was asked, about the turnovers and opportunities. And it's about a minute long, but it's a good answer. He was asked about the turnovers and the opportunities presented through Texas State.
Oh, listen, so much can change. Let me tell you one thing. I mean, you're talking five turnovers, okay? There's five turnovers. I think we went to fourth on fourth down, didn't get it twice. One fourth down, we capitalized on a score. Another one we got. Listen, we've got to create opportunities for us, not disadvantaged situations like we did tonight. I mean, those turnovers right there, the first series of the game, it can't happen. The last play of the game, it can't happen. You know, the various other turnovers. It's just those are things you can correct. We can coach and get that corrected, and we will. We're going to coach our butts off and get it corrected, and our players are going to work their tails off and get it corrected. So certainly, like I said, one game's not going to dictate a season. I've been coaching for a long time, and I've had a lot of great wins just to get knocked off a week later. I've had a lot of tough losses to come back and shock them all. So we'll learn, get better.
Absolutely. We can build on this, we can learn, and we can get better. And he's not just saying that. Sure, that sounds like speak, but it's not. It's easily not. It's exactly what needs to be said and exactly what we all believe. The season's not over. This is one game. One game. There's 11 more to play. And all we have to do is win, 65% or 55% of them, and we're in a bowl game. And I see that. Like I said, I've thought all along this is a bowl-caliber team. I think we can win at least six games. Plus, we had a 17-day break before we get against Penn State, which is the next game, which we'll talk about with Dimitri next show. Back to Coach, though. When asked about the opposing quarterback, Treyon Harris, here's what we thought of Treyon.
We needed to contain the quarterback a little bit better. You know, he got out there and scrambled and hurt us a few times, and then they popped that one long run. Was it a 60-yard run? They played about as well as they could the way we were playing offensively.
There you go. Got to contain the quarterback a little better. They did a decent job, but ultimately didn't do a good enough job, as Treyon Harris was able, like I said, to run for 91 yards and a touchdown against us. That was his biggest weapon. He's got decent arm, great footwork. Now, I actually asked Coach about the last drive where Tennessee State was backed up towards their own end zone, and instead of running the ball a couple times to run the clock out, for some reason they decided to start passing to try to get out of the end zone area. You know, it's neither here nor there. That's their strategy. So we actually got the ball back with about a minute 33, I believe, on our own 45 with two timeouts. Maybe one timeout. Either way, one or two timeouts. This is easily obtainable. Only down seven at home, crowds behind you. And when I asked Coach about the last drive, here's what he had to say.
What do you think? We got to go to score. I mean, there was no question about it. I mean, that was the only alternative. I mean, it was right there around a minute and 20-something seconds to go. I mean, we had nothing to do but go down there and score. And I truly believed we could. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind. I thought momentum was right there. And, you know, people think momentum is off or not, but let me tell you, it has a lot to do with it. And we had a missed assignment on that last play. Caused that interception.
There you go. It was a missed assignment. Missed assignment and the interception that Aaron threw that was also returned. Make sure I get that right, because I don't want to discredit the guy who did it. It was returned for 32 yards down to their own 15 or 20 or so, which pretty much sealed the deal. A couple knees later, and game was over. Like I said, these guys battled. In no way would I count them out. It's in no way, like I said, this is one game in. Even if this was the last game of the year, I would still not count them out because
these guys are warriors.
Absolutely. These guys are warriors. Straight up warriors. Thanks, Coach Lupano, for that. When you commit five turnovers, game, what was it, 49 yards on the ground, and, you know, have your starting quarterback go out, which changed things up a little, things are going to happen. I don't know the word on Connor. I'm sure he'll be fine by the time the next game rolls around. If not, Aaron's pretty capable. And Jaquez Parks is still around. Jack Walker is, he may be fifth. He may be redshirting this year. Not sure on that. And I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing? I want to make sure I get that right. Yeah, I said Jaquez. Joshua Shim. Yeah, there we go. So between Joshua Shim, Jack Walker, Jaquez Parks, Aaron Winchester, and Connor Manning, I think we're fine. We're fine. Any one of those guys are capable of leading this offense. I think Connor does the better job. That's why he's a starter. No. Like today's show. The reason a lot of times people ask why I name them certain things, it usually goes along with the theme. Today's show is called Hardest Part. Why? Because the hardest part of anything is getting started. We just got the season started. The hardest part, we had to deal with this first game in the new stadium. A lot of hype, a lot of pressure. And unfortunately, we ended up on the losing side. It happens. But once again, I reiterate, first game, I'm not worried about anything. I think we're going to start winning the battle in the trenches more. Our special teams is going to tweak the few little things that they need to. We're not going to commit five turnovers every game. In fact, I'd be willing to bet we don't commit no more than two per game from here on out, possibly less. And we're going to establish a run game. I don't see why we wouldn't. Don't see why we wouldn't. But like I said, we are on a bye week this week. And then, of course, we get the Penn State game I was talking about, which will be at State College, Pennsylvania, Saturday, September 16th. That is a 7:30 p.m. start. That is on the Big Ten Network, along with 1340 a.m. here locally, 103.7 FM and 88.5 FM. If you want to hear Dave and the guys on the call. You know, got plenty of time to regroup and get everything ready. But that's going to do it for me. Appreciate you guys tuning in to GSU Panther Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Remember, Demetri Chen will be joining us. We're going to preview the Penn State game and a lot more. See you guys next week. Go Panthers!